All right. Everybody hear me okay? Good. I always have to double check the electronics. All right. So this evening, first off, I'd like to extend a warm welcome to any of our friends or visitors that we may have. We really appreciate you all coming out, being out with us this evening. We'd like to also thank our brothers and sisters for being out. But you know, if you are visiting with us for the first time, please take note that the church here, well, we strive to do the will of God in every way that we can. So, you know, we speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible's silent. We do not add to nor take away, and we strive for that in our worship to God. You know, here we go. All right. Joy. Joy is tonight's lesson. But before we get into that, along the lines of speaking where the Bible speaks, John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by your truth, thy word is truth." This was Jesus' prayer to the Almighty before he left the earth. He wanted his disciples and followers to walk in the truth that he had left them. So, if anybody has any questions tonight, feel free to ask us afterwards. We'd love to discuss it with you. We always enjoy a good Bible study. Any comments, we always welcome. But tonight, we're going to get on to the lesson. Tonight's lesson is on joy. So, joy, if you look at Facebook or look at the news today, seems to be a misplaced and a forgotten term, doesn't it? Scrolling through Facebook, everybody seems to be on a negative rant. So, joy is defined by the Webster's Dictionary as a feeling of great happiness, like this smiley guy behind me. Now, that's subjective, isn't it? If you ask everybody in the audience this one question: what is your greatest joy in life? I doubt that there'd scarcely be two answers the same. Some people's greatest joy in life may be a good fishing trip. Some people's greatest joys in life may be their grandkids. Some people's greatest joy in life may be even watching The Walking Dead or some other TV show that's popular today. So, tonight, though, we're going to talk about joy and where the Christian's true joy comes from. Because you see, the world is misguided. It's seeking joy in carnal and temporary things that fade with time. This little thing I have up here: Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Now, I did not come up with this. Many of you have seen this before. I've seen it since I was a small child, talking about how to have true joy. But Jesus first in your life, always do unto others, and keep yourself last in the equation, and you'll have some true joy in your life. So let's talk about the last one first. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about yourself. Let's talk about me and myself, because honestly, I preach to myself more than I preach to anybody else. You know, we have to work on joy some days, don't we? Some days are harder than others to put a smiling face on and go into work and do the things that we need to do, spread the gospel to our friends and our family. And why is that? Satan tries to steal our joy, doesn't he? He tries to bring us down with him. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He tries to eat away at it so that we don't have that true Christian joy. We don't spread that true Christian joy to the others around us. Why? Because misery loves company, doesn't it? You know, misery loves company. I can imagine none more miserable than the prince of the condemned himself. The devil has to be the most miserable entity ever created. And it's due to his own doings. So how do we keep him away? How do we keep him at bay and keep our joy with us? How are we able to keep it with us so we can show others how to have it? Well, by remembering our Savior. Our Savior was born. He died on a cross. 3 days He was raised. And He reigns forever, right? That is our true joy, knowing that our Savior overcame death. You know, in Matthew, the 28th chapter, when the two Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, as it said, visits the tomb, the angel spoke to them and told them this amazing fact, that Jesus was buried and now He's risen. He's overcome death, hasn't He? And what did they do? Well, down in verse 8, it says, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And they ran to tell the disciples. Well, they weren't running with joy because they were glad to be out of a smelly graveyard, were they? Why were they running? They were running because they had joy, because they served a risen Savior. And with this, they wanted to tell the others the good news, didn't they? So, how do we stay full of joy? Well, by telling others the good news of a risen Savior and believing in ourselves enough to go tell them. So we've talked about you and we've talked about me, right? Bottom end of the joy equation. Let's talk about the others. The others that we need to be taking salvation to. What about those others? Ever have that day? That day where those others are getting on your everlasting nerve. You just don't want to be around people. They're really, everything they do just seems to annoy you. They may be picking at you. They may be saying things about you. You know, a lot of times, the reason these others in your daily life try and steal your joy is because they don't have joy themselves, at least not true joy. You know, how many days in your life do you live without the others around you? Have you ever had a day where you didn't have others around you? Well, it's our job to teach them how to have this joy. So if you would, turn with me, Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. And bear with me, we're going to read a little bit. And I'll be reading from the ESV, so some of the wording may be reversed into more modern English. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he had the 2 talents, made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made you 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Listen to this next part. Enter into the joy of your master. And he who had two talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made two talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and laid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not much difference in entering joy between the two talent and the one talent guy, right? One talent. It was all in their choices of what to do with it. Did he want to spread his joy, spread his talents around? Or did he want to hide them? You know, we see here those doing the will of God the Master entering into joy. But for those that hide their joy from the others being cast into outer darkness. So for us to find true joy that lasts forever, we must be willing to share our joy with others, so that they may have a chance to enter also. You know, others can bring us joy. If I can go the right way on the slides, right? There we go. Others can bring us joy, especially when they're walking down heaven's road with us. Third book of John, verse 4. There are no chapters in 3 John. Verse 4. Said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. Remember what the truth was? Beginning of the lesson, we talked about John 17:17. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, when they're walking in God's words and is doing his commandments, these others can learn to love God. And share God's blessings. Excuse me. What a wonderful world that would be. Right? If everybody followed God's commandments, everybody got along, everybody had good days. You know, but sometimes those others act as tools of the devil, don't they? They cause strife. They cause grief for our Christian brothers and sisters. They pick away at our faith. They may even tempt us to stray. You know, but if we remain steadfast in all these trials with these others who are not doing God's will, we can have joy in that also. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. You know, count it joy. How can we count this as joy when others are trying to bring us down? Well, if you skip on down to verse 12, he tells us, Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. When we receive that crown of life, when we're in Jesus, we find our joy, don't we? So let's talk a little bit about Jesus. You know, we've talked about you, we've talked about me, we've talked about the others. Let's talk about Jesus. First part of the joy equation. The only way for our joy to be complete and full is to have the joy of Jesus abiding in us. And by that, we have to be abiding in His commandments and in His love. Turn with me, John 15, verse 9 through 11. It says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." In other words, when we keep Jesus' commandments, when we love him enough to keep his commandments, we're in his joy. We can be recipients of his joy. The birth of Jesus was met with great joy, described in Luke 1, verse 44, when Mary goes and meets Elizabeth. In the 44th verse, the first chapter of Luke, we see that the baby leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb. But you know, Jesus will be coming back, and he will be met with great joy by those who believed enough to keep his commandments and to do his will. So tonight, do you have joy in your life? I'm not talking about a great day fishing. I'm not talking about going down to the park with the grandkids or watching your favorite TV show. Do you have joy in your life? Where did my slide go? Do you have joy and peace that passes all understanding in your life? Life on earth is not getting a minute longer for any of us. If you've left your joy in Christ, if you are an erring Christian, you can turn your life back around. Come back to your joy. All you need to do is come forward tonight when we sing the invitation song, and we can pray for you. You know, but if you're not a member of the body of Christ and have never known the joys therein, there's a few things you must do. Remember, we just finished talking about John 15, around verse 10. He said, "If you keep his commandments, only then do you abide in his love." You've got to do what he says. You know, Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And I know you've heard tonight because I loved you enough to tell you. I've told you the truth in God. John 8:24, Jesus commanded that we believe. He said, "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Jesus also commanded us to repent. Luke 13:3. He said, "I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall likewise perish." And he goes on to tell us in Matthew 10:32 to confess him, doesn't he? "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." He wants us to confess him, tell people about our Savior, doesn't he? You know, there's another one a lot of people like to leave out. Mark 16:16, Jesus commands us to be baptized for the remission of our sins. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." What a harsh word to think about if it applies to you. You know, we're baptized into Christ and the joy therein. You can read more about it in Romans the 6th chapter, verse 3 through 5, how we're baptized with Christ into his death and raised with him to eternal life. But to receive the crown of life and joy of eternal life, we must follow Christ's commandment to remain faithful unto death. We can see that in Revelation 2, verse 10. Second part of that verse, it tells us to remain faithful. That's a commandment Jesus spoke. You know, if you have any need tonight, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for he loves you so. Only a step, come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus the crucified, casting your head. Open for you.